the birth of this movement. And I remember a year ago, we were over on the steps of the courthouse. And I think it was warm that day, too. I actually think it was quite, in fact, I think I was pretty sweaty and hot that day. We should have more of these if this leads to the good weather, if that's really what... Anyway, we're live from Bronson Park. Things get rolling at 5:30 today. One of the big speakers is Phyllis Schlafly. She says, look, you took phonics. You should. It is like it's spelled. She, of course, a conservative political activist, and the Eagle Forum is really her baby. I mean, in a lot of ways. And Phyllis, thank you so much for coming today.
Very happy to be here, Jay.
We were just talking off the air just a little bit ago, and or just politics in general, and you know what really led to all of this today and last year and what and such. And, you know, there is a lot of anti-Obama, and you're going to hear a lot of that today, and I'll be the first one to admit it. But you know, you can go back to 8 years of George W. Bush. You can really go back to a change in mindset somewhere after 9/11 that took us to a different place. And I don't know if it was a good. I don't think it was a good place. I don't know where you're at with it, but I think you agree.
Well, we began to worry about the whole integrity and exceptionalism of America after 9/11. We began to feel threatened from the enemies to our country. And I think there has been a big coming together. I'm very excited about the Tea Party movement. I guess this is the first anniversary of Tea Party. They're spontaneous. They're grassroots. When I built Eagle Forum starting in 1972, it was spontaneous. It was grassroots. We were all volunteers, and people rose up to defeat a change in the Constitution that we thought was bad for women, bad for kids, bad for families, bad for America.
Feminists really aren't, they don't like you very much, do they? I mean, and you see, she smiles just a little bit. Yeah.
Well, of course, they're mad at the world when they wake up in the morning because they think they live in an oppressive patriarchal society. And I think American women are the most fortunate class of people who ever lived on the face of the earth.
So instead of, you know, and this is where it gets interesting, you put together the Eagle Forum. Instead of sitting there and instead of complaining about something, you actually, and this is where, you know, this is where you make the leap. Instead of sitting there in 1972 and just complaining about it, you actually did something about it, similar to the people that are here today.
Well, yes, it was similar, and I think the majority of women, certainly it was a women's issue, agreed with me. But what I did, basically, was raise the flag and said, let's march. And it needed a leader. And what is so exciting to me is that I think the Tea Party movement has started the same way, but they don't have leaders. It's all just people and local leaders. And it's just come together, and I think that's very exciting. I think that is a new awakening of our country.
I said I've often, you know, in talking about this, and I do this show with a progressive friend, and I call him a friend because we can talk about almost anything except politics without arguing. But he and I have gone back.
What else is there to talk about?
Well, there is sports. We're guys. I mean, come on, you have to go there. But you know, it's. You threw me off. It's one of those kind of things where he and I have had the conversation about role of government in our lives, where we're at now, and the fact that because of the internet and because I'm sitting here with a wireless and a laptop, you can have so much information just like that, that people are not only involved but almost hyper-involved.
Yes, the internet is wonderful. When I started out, we not only didn't have internet, we didn't have fax machines. All we had was expensive telephone calls and the Phyllis Schlafly report by snail mail once a month. But nevertheless, we were able to do it. And I think today it's quite exciting. I put out a new release this week. Showing that we have now become a kind of a two-class society. And, you know, it's been on Hannity, it's been on Drudge, and people are it's just a shock to a lot of people. Half the people in this country do not pay federal income tax. So we're a nation of taxpayers, and I'll bet you everybody comes to this Tea Party this afternoon as a taxpayer, and then you got the freeloaders. And they're on the dole, some kind of cash or other financial benefit that they're paid for by the people who pay taxes. And it's very unfair. and the people who are not paying taxes are voting to raise the taxes on the rest of us.
And what did I see? The top 10% are paying, and I forget.
The top 10% are paying three-fourths of the taxes. Now, of course, there are other taxes you pay, but it is the federal income tax that pays the cost of running the government and providing all this welfare and food stamps and earned income tax credit and housing subsidies and all those things and bailing out Fannie and Freddie and going to bail out Social Security when it runs out of money.
Which is soon.
Yeah, right. And so it's the people who faithfully paid their taxes, and today was the day that they're paying their taxes. And half the country said, we're not worried about taxes. Go ahead and raise it on, soak the rich.
Phyllis, my progressive friend would say then, well, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what the government's role is. They're supposed to help those people that can't help themselves. This is the government and what they're supposed to do. What else are these people supposed to do then if they can't help themselves? And the government's not there for them.
That wasn't what built our country. What built our country was having America as a land of opportunity where everybody could go out and maybe start by mowing lawns, but work into a good job later on and live the American dream, eventually buy a car and get married and buy a house. And this is what the average guy was able to do in America. And you're not standing. You know, I grew up during the Great Depression of the 30s, and we didn't have any of these welfare or handouts of any kind, any shape or form. And we grinned and bore it and worked hard and grew up to be the greatest generation.
Yeah, but your generation was really good at being able and knowing that they had to sacrifice. There was a sacrifice there. And you know, the difference between your generation and my generation is, and I'll be honest with you, I'm 40 years old. I've been incredibly lucky to grow up in a country that had a great economy growing for most of my life.
Yes, and it's too bad if that's slipping away from us. But I do feel that Obama's trying to turn us into countries like the European socialist countries, where the government owns everything, where they have all these entitlements, everybody has lots of vacations, they don't make much money, they're going into debt, and they're not creating new jobs, and it's not the kind of country we want to live in.
Now, you've lived through Democratic presidents. You've lived through several administrations. You know, how does the Obama administration rate against, you know, look, there was a whole bunch in the 60s, you know. That got to be really interesting, too. I mean, is there a difference there between Lyndon Johnson and President Barack Obama?
Well, yes, Lyndon Johnson did create this idea that the government is the solution for problems. And fortunately, Reagan came along after that and said, government isn't the solution, government is the problem. And that's right. But Obama is far and away different. He said on the eve of his election that he wanted to fundamentally transform America. And that's what he's trying to do. When he told Joe the Plumber he wanted to spread the wealth around, he wasn't kidding. That means taking money away from hardworking people who are paying their taxes and giving it to the freeloaders.
Do you think it would have been dramatically different, say, if John McCain was elected? I mean, dramatically different? Because John McCain, at one point, he was for cap and trade. At one point, John McCain, you know, talked about the bailouts and was for the bailouts. You really think it would have been different had John McCain been elected?
Well, I do think he blew it the day he called a halt to his campaign, flew to Washington, and voted for the bailout. I think that's the day he blew it. I do think it would have been fundamentally different. I don't think he would have gone for this tremendous health control bill that Obama has forced through the Congress. And, of course, McCain was wrong on a number of issues. He was wrong on in the immigration issue. We fought him hard on that and beat him on that, and did not let amnesty go through, which he wanted. But he's, yes, I think it would have been fundamentally different. I don't think he could possibly have put us into the amount of debt that Obama has put us into. And we, and there's also the matter of the Supreme Court and other judicial appointments. Bad as George Bush was, he gave us a couple of good justices on the Supreme Court, Robertson, Alito fast becoming about as good as Clarence Thomas, and that's pretty great in my book.
You mentioned George W. Bush, as bad as it was. You hear a lot of people who voted for him, who lean conservative, who are Republicans, now admitting, okay, so it was 8 years, and boy, it wasn't pretty. Biggest mistake in the, I mean, politically, look at, for you looking at it?
Well, you know, when we got a lot of our laws from England, but we got rid of a lot of laws we didn't like. And I thought one of the ones we got rid of was the British idea of primogeniture. But somehow the Republicans believe in primogeniture. That means the next son in line is the one who inherits. And the rest of them can go join the church or the military or something else, but the next one in line. And that's why we got George W. Bush. That's why we got John McCain. That's why we got Bob Dole. And we've got to look around and find some new candidates.
Yesterday, I was reading David Brooks, I think, wrote in the New York, so he was asked at some point in time, who is the leader of the Republican Party? If I put you on the spot, is there somebody that you can name at this point in time that's a leader of the Republican Party?
No, there isn't. But there are quite a few really good people in Congress. And I would mention Senator DeMint, for example. He has done really something very remarkable. We've always had a Republican senatorial campaign committee that goes out and raises money and tries to help Republican senators get elected. And you, I bet you don't even know who the head of that is now, because DeMint went out and started his own senatorial committee, and he's endorsed some of the good guys instead of the establishment incumbent rhinos. And that showed a lot of courage and thinking out of the box, and he's right on all the issues that I can think about. So he's a good guy. I think very highly of Michelle Bachmann. She's just a real star. Steve King of Iowa is wonderful. He had a real job before he went to Congress. Yeah, that really helps.
Not everybody can say that either, in fact. I'll throw one more name at you. And we talked about it off the air beforehand. What are your thoughts on Sarah Palin?
Oh, well, I think Sarah Palin is a celebrity. She draws the crowd. I know you all are sorry she's not here today, and you have to put up with me as Plan B.
Actually, I kind of think of you more as Plan A, to be completely honest. I'm just, you know.
But I hope she's making lots of money, and she's attracting the crowds, and it is fun the way she just irritates the feminists to death.
Is she presidential? Could she be elected to either president or a vice president, political position?
I don't think so, and the reason is would knock out several people. The next candidate we run for president shouldn't be somebody who becomes the issue, and the issue would be, is she qualified? Of course, she's smarter than Joe Biden, but anyway, that media doesn't pay attention to that. But the issue in the next presidential election should be, do you or don't you like Barack Obama? It shouldn't be whoever we put up. So I think that's a handicap for her, and I do not think she will be nominated. However, I'm happy for her to go around and irritate the feminists and make all these speeches and make lots of money. That's just great.
I think she has, when I asked you, you know, the feminists don't like you, you gave me this very sly smile. I think she has that same kind of sly smile as you do, Phyllis.
Well, she does. And, of course, you see, the feminists don't believe that women can be successful in this oppressive patriarchal society that we live in. And she's a success in politics, and she's got a cute husband and kids, and what more? What more? This is what women want.
Thank you, Phyllis. Gosh, I appreciate it. It's been my pleasure.
I have to tell people about my website.
Give me the plug, please.
Right. Eagleforum.org. Anything more you want to know is on eagleforum.org.
Phyllis Schlafly. She's going to be here speaking, I believe, shortly after 6 o'clock is what we have Phyllis slated for. So you can hear more from Phyllis. And again, one more time with the website.
Eagleforum.org.
Gosh, she's good. I'm telling you. This is the Jay Morris Show. We're live from Bronson Park today. 590-96.5 WKZO.